I'm reading this morning from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse number 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray together. Our Father, indeed there are chains that need to be broken, even in this room this morning. So I pray that the sound of your name and the might and the power of your Spirit will break every chain. Loose and set free all of us who are hindered, hurt, and harmed by satanic oppression and influence. Cast out the devil from our midst, and let your Spirit have preeminence in this service. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Christian life is a battle. We live in two separate worlds all at the same time. There is the world of the pew upon which you sit and the people that surround you. The physical world that you know about and live in constantly. But there is a spiritual world, a world of demons and angels, a world of satanic agendas and demonic activities, a world where God's Spirit is a restrainer and makes all the difference in this world as long as our Lord leaves him here. There is a battle that is both physical and non-physical, visible and non-visible. You can see it and feel it, but one that can hardly be seen, but certainly can be felt. It is Satan and his attack upon all that is good and all that is right and all that is righteous. He is our enemy. He is to be known about and even in some ways respected, but never feared, never worshiped, never adored. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. And so that when we fight this good fight of the faith, we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from a victory. With that in mind, we begin to prepare for the battle, knowing the strategies of the enemy. He attacks our mind with lies, our body with suffering. He attacks our will with pride and arrogance and overconfidence in the flesh. He attacks our heart with accusations, innuendos, declaring we're unworthy and unloved. We have a defense, and yet many of us are untrained in how to use the defense that God has given us. Our defense is the sword of the Spirit, the inspired Word of God. Our defense is the indwelling Holy Spirit that fills us and empowers and equips us as we face the enemy. Our defense is the interceding Son of God. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Never do we face the foe without Jesus pouring out upon us anointed prayer that the Father hears and the devil flees from. We have a defense. But those of us who are unaware are untrained and unprepared. And some of us who are aware are apathetic and indifferent and unconcerned when it comes to living out the Christ life. So I bring you this morning to just some simple reminders, and then finally some things that we must realize in order to be victorious. Reminder number one, it's about Satan. He has been defeated. Maybe you didn't hear me. It's about Satan. He has been defeated. When World War II came to a conclusion and a peace treaty was signed, there were hundreds of islands sprinkled around the Far East where news did not arrive that the peace treaty had been signed and the war was ended. And on those islands, the Allies and the enemy continued to fight. Soldiers continued to die, and victories and skirmishes were won or lost. And for some of those places, it was days, and others weeks, and some even months before they discovered that the war was over, that there was a winner and a loser, and that fighting no longer needed to occur. That's the same thing that has happened in our world. Satan has blinded the eyes of a great many to know that the war is over. The victory has been won. Hallelujah! Easter Sunday took care of that. When he came forth from the grave, he had with him the keys of death and of hell. And he who was free to roam the earth has now been conquered and overwhelmed and overcome. And we join Paul and say, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you this morning that our enemy has been beaten. Satan has been defeated. Quickly, the penalty of sin has been paid in full. You can start living for Christ and not trying to repay your debt. In the first place, were we to live 100,000 years and do good every day of those years, we could not repay the price paid for our sin at Calvary. And on the other hand, once paid for, forever paid for, and the Father who was simply pacified in the Old Testament is truly satisfied with the shed blood of Jesus, and the penalty for my sin and yours has already been atoned for. We sang about it. Some of us shouted about it, that the power of sin has been broken, that the chains that once rattled and said, I have you bound, now have been dropped by the wayside, so that to know the truth, we are free, and we are free indeed. And I remind you that though Satan continues to remind us of how awful we are and have been, he's a liar, and he's a defeated liar, And I remind you this morning that you and I are victorious, for we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Let me remind you a little bit about yourself. And this is a long sentence, so listen with both ears. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Translated from darkness to light. Another way of saying that is we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You have a new position. Oh, it's not president, it's not leader, it's not this or that. Your new position is in Jesus Christ. Your old position was lost in sin. But from darkness, you've moved to light. From in sin, you've moved to in Christ. And as a result of that, I want to remind you this morning that though Satan still fights, you can stand on victory ground and declare, I am a child of the living God. And in Him, I have my being, and in Him, I am free, and in Him, there is the hope of glory. But I want to remind you of something else. That new position you have comes with a responsibility. Good place to get quiet. That new position in Christ, it comes with a responsibility. He said, now that you are in Christ, you put on the armor of God. Now that you know the battle is already won, but you must fight the good fight of faith, arm yourself. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, put on shoes of the gospel, grab the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and stand firm in that evil day so that the wiles of the enemy will not penetrate your shield and you can forcefully enforce the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and with that comes this awesome responsibility that you're to put on the whole armor of God and fight and stand firm in the evil day. Now I want to tell you something that's very simple, but I think very profound. Almost all of the victories that you need to win in your life can be won by simply living the true Christian life. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Almost all the victories, if not all the victories, that you need to win in your life will be won as you simply live the Christian life. I mean, I hear people talk about the deeper life, the Spirit-filled life, the this life, the that. Listen, you don't have to have anything but the Christian life. That covers it all. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Everything old has been made new. And in Christ, listen to Paul, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All you and I must do is live out the Christ life every day in every way, and the victory will be plain, and the victory will be powerful, and the victory will be to the praise and glory of God the Father. That's all you need is Christ. Nothing less will do, and nothing more is needed. Just give me Jesus. And therein lies the victory. Now, let me move quickly from some things just to remind you of to the strategies that Satan uses when he comes against us. And there are five of these, and I'll just take about 10 minutes, and I'll be through, and I'll find a place to sit, and we can pray, and you can go eat. All right, number one, Satan's strategy. When is he most apt to attack? When will he come against you with the greatest amount of force? Here it is. When you begin to take significant steps towards spiritual growth, let me say that again. When you begin to take significant steps towards spiritual growth, Satan will come against you. As long as you are cold toward the gospel, apathetic toward the commands of the scripture, indifferent toward the needs of people, as long as you are selfish and prideful and content with who you are and what you've done, Satan will not bother you at all. But when you, as a true believer, begin to take significant steps in growing stronger in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When you take that seriously and you begin to take significant steps in that direction, Satan will come against you. If you don't believe me, you make up your mind this morning that at 6 in the morning you're going to rise up and pray and study your Bible for a while. That's the truth. The moment you take significant steps, leaving behind indifference and unconcern and standing toward that which is right and wholesome and holy and righteous, Satan will come alive and come against you. Moving from that, there's another thought that maybe we need to remember. When we begin to invade Satan's territory, when we begin to expose him for who he is and what he is, when we tell the truth about him, and people begin to understand that he is beaten and defeated, he will rise up and thrash out with all of his energies, for the Bible says he knows his days are shortened. When Paul moved from city to city and town to town and village to village and began to proclaim the gospel, he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him. The devil would rise up against him in persecution, and he found himself in jails. He found himself beaten. He found himself having to be led over the wall in the basket to escape men who would like to have killed him. Persecution came to Paul when he preached the gospel, and when you and I began to expose the devil for who he is and for what his attempts are, we too will feel that pressure. And I'll just give you a little insight. When you preach a series of sermons on spiritual warfare, Satan will rise against you. There's a third time, and I think maybe as I'm moving along and progressing in this, we really need to take it even more seriously. When we repent and break with the world and turn from a long-held sin or a relationship that's not right, and we begin to plead with God to break every chain and tear down every stronghold in our life, Satan rises against us. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, let me tell you, while repentance is necessary, while repentance is vital, while repentance is an absolute, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. We've come to that frame of thought where we say things like, well, I can quit that anytime I want to. I quit 4 or 5 times last month. Don't you get it? It's not funny. That's the culture we're living in. That's the mentality that we have gotten a hold of, or that's gotten a hold of us. And we continue to say, well, you know, I repented of that. I repented of that. How many times I repent of it every time I do it. For God's sake, when are you going to repent of it and stop doing it? When are you going to stay away from earthly entertainment that steals the joy of the Lord from your soul and spirit? When you're going to say no to things that you know Satan has his hand in and is a part of? When are we going to come out from the world and be separate and touch not the unclean thing? When is righteousness going to matter? When are we going to stop saying, how much of this world can I live in and still go to heaven, instead of saying, how much of heaven can I get down here in this old world where I have to live? When are we going to look different? When are we going to act different? When are we going to be different? When are we going to stop going places where the world goes and start going places where the child of God goes? When is being a Christian going to matter? Well, I want to tell you, when you honestly and actually repent of sin, you will stir up a hornet's nest of demons, and they will do everything and all they can to hinder you and to harm you. But repentance is necessary, for in repentance we have cleansing. In repentance we have forgiveness. In repentance we have an opportunity to stand firm in the evil day. And in repentance, holding the shield of faith, we can knock down those fiery darts of the devil. In repentance we can take the word of God and swing it cleverly and consistently and defeat the enemy so that we can live in victory. And quickly, one final thing, and I both like this and dislike this, and you'll know why when I say it. We must realize that Satan comes against us. His strategy is to come against us when we take significant steps to spiritual growth, when we invade enemy territory, when we expose Satan for who he really is, when we really genuinely repent and turn from our sin. And then the final one I want to share with you. It's when God gets ready to use you for his glory, all hell will break loose. When God begins to prepare you, equip you, spiritually educate you, train you, turn you, point you in the right direction, burden your soul, strengthen your life. When God gets ready to use you for his glory, Satan will surely attack with all that is within him. Now, if I were you, here's something I'd be thinking. Pastor, my goodness, if all those things rouse up the devil, I think I'll just stay away from all of them. If when I do that, he does that, wouldn't it be better if I just didn't do that? I think we've been living by that axiom. I think that's what's controlling the greater number of professing Christians. I think we want to leave well enough alone. I think we don't want to rock the boat. I think we're afraid to dive into the battle. I am praying that God will give us the desire to attack hell with a water pistol if necessary. That we, as the song said, will rise up like a mighty army against everything and anything that opposes the sweet name of Jesus Christ. I'm praying for bravery, for courage, for a I don't care anymore attitude when it comes to what will the world say. I'm praying for somebody to say, enough. I'm standing firm against all that is wrong and all that is right. And I'm going to stand until I can't stand any longer because my feet have left this soil and I'm on my way into the presence of God. Well, it would be easier, at least for a few days, weeks, and months, if we did nothing. Neutrality, just gliding along. But remember, we're going to stand before Jesus one of these days. That's my last thought. We're coming to the judgment seat of Christ, where every thought, action, and deed will need to be accounted for. So the songwriter said it well, and then I'll take my seat. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. And while pastors are in the altar, give Him glory. Give Him glory. While pastors are in the altar and Daryl leads us in this song of invitation, somebody needs to say, no matter the cost, I'm going to obey. Somebody needs to come and become a part of our church family. Somebody needs to come and say, I've been saved. I need to follow our Lord in baptism. Somebody needs to come and say, I've been whipped at every turn. I'm struggling in every way. And today, I'm laying it all down at the foot of the cross. And I'm taking up the power of the Spirit and the interceding Son of God and the inspired Word of God, and I'm going to use those weapons to stand firm in the evil day. Right now, let's sing together, and pastors, come quickly.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.